This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. So go with me, if you will, to Mark the 11th chapter. I'll be there in just a little while, but you can go ahead and put your fingers on Mark the 11th chapter. And we are in a series. So last night started our faith revival. And so we're going to teach on faith last night, tonight, and Sunday for sure. So for sure, it's going to be a three-part series. And so the title of our series is Have Faith in God. Have Faith in God. Now, I know everyone has masks on, so I've been trying my best not to have you repeat everything. But once Pastor gets to rolling, I just forget everybody has masks on, all right? So if you're like, man, he's making us talk a lot, just charge it to my head and not my heart, all right? But we might as well start off. So everybody says, have faith, in God. All right, faith is the most important subject a believer needs to learn after getting saved, all right? Because once I'm saved, right? And so after I get saved, why is it the most important subject? Because the Bible teaches us that the just, or those who have been declared righteous because of the blood of Jesus, that we live by faith. And so it is by faith that we possess the promises of God. Everything we said last night in the kingdom of God is accessed or activated by faith. So it is very important that we understand the only way to get to where I'm really trying to go in the kingdom of God and really live the life that Jesus died for me to live, because he came that I might have life and have it more abundantly, is if I learn the principles of faith and have the God kind of faith that we talked about last night. And to the degree I'll learn to work my faith, I'll see God do amazing things. All right. And so we talked last night, and remember, we said how faith is a spirit, and we said, you know, faith is a servant. We said faith has a voice. We talked a little bit about how faith speaks at the very end. And so one of the things that I've been sharing with you over the past several weeks that is becoming a staple, like some of our other terms or quotes that we use, is that God not only demands that faith is your source, but your only source, all right? And we said last night that misplaced faith is having faith in something a little bit other than God. But see, but that's not God's way. God's way is, regardless of the senses, even if I can't see it, I can't touch it, doesn't matter about any of those things. If I see it in the word of God and release my faith, it'll come to pass. Does that make sense? All right. And so, Brother Jonte, you doing good? It's good to see you tonight. Surgery went well? All right. I know you wanted to get up on stage and jump around, but your wife is looking online. She said you better not be on stage. All right. All right. All right. But she let you come out tonight, didn't she? Yeah, she ain't letting you go out too many other places. So it seemed like you ought to take her out to lunch. So here's $100. You just take her out to lunch. Somebody come get it for her. No, don't make the man get up. Now, he's about to jump up. No. Bless you. Bless you. All right. Right before he had his surgery, Jonte had the boot on. And I told the lady, you know, one Sunday he was so excited. He was up there kicking that thing around. I'm like, Lord, keep him, Jesus. Keep him, Jesus. But how many know he'll keep you if you want to be kept? So faith demands that God is your source and he is your only source, right? And so faith refreshers are needed. We need these times where we come together and we talk about faith and how faith works and how to develop our faith. Because the biggest question to any believer is, do you believe God? You know, and some, oh, Pastor, I believe God. I believe him from Genesis to Revolution. I believe God. You got it? You know, how you feeling? Oh, my back is killing me right now. That old arthritis has been riding. No. See, you've got to learn that there are some promises that are available to you. And to the degree that you learn to develop your faith, you will see those promises come to pass in your life. Right? So Mark 11, and let's start right at verse 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, now leaves is a sign of fruitfulness, all right? Having leaves, he came happily if he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Watch this. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answering and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter. How often? Forever. And the disciples did what, class? Heard it. So the disciples heard it. They did not overhear it. He didn't say they overheard it. He heard it. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was trying to teach them something, okay? All right? So they go into Jerusalem. Jesus turns over some tables, you know, and things like that. And so let's pick up at verse 19. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning they passed by. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, Jesus, behold, look, you ain't gonna believe this, Lord. The fig tree which you cursed is what? Withered away. It is dried up at the roots. So remember last night, we talked a little bit about sense knowledge, right? And so there's sense knowledge, and we talked about human faith as it relates to the God kind of faith. Human faith has to do with the senses. You know, if I can see it, I can believe it. But when the Bible says not all men have faith, the Bible's talking about the God kind of faith, which is given to every believer. And so we talked a little bit about sense knowledge. And so you either can live by sense knowledge or you can live by revelation knowledge. You could take that word revelation knowledge and say live by spiritual knowledge, however you can, you know, intertwine those. And so there is this sense knowledge, and then there's this spiritual knowledge. When we look at the 12 spies that went into Canaan to spy the land, right? 12 of them went, and 10 of them came back with a bad report. The reason they came back with the bad report, because their report was based on sense knowledge. The reason the other two, who was it? Joshua and Caleb, right? Came back with a good report because their report was based on revelation knowledge or spiritual knowledge. Watch this. Really based on what God had already promised them. So God had already promised them. He already said what was going to happen. He already said he was going to deliver it to them, but it takes your faith to believe to bring it into possession in your life. And so you've got to learn how to operate in faith and in spiritual knowledge. Now remember, the spirit is more real than the physical, right? There's two worlds. There's a spiritual world that I cannot see. And then there is a natural world that I can see. And the spiritual world is more real than the natural world because the natural world is dependent on the spiritual world. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. He says, for the things which are seen are temporal, meaning that they are subject to change. All right. But the things that are not seen are eternal. And so you've got to get this. Now, let's put this together with 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 26th verse. And I just want y'all to stay with me because I told Lady today, I really felt strongly. I just need to teach this to you because I need you to get it. You got it? Because, see, if you learn this God kind of faith, it'll move any mountain in your life. Any mountain in your life. Got it? All right? And so our problem is not that somebody's holding us down. Our problem is we need to learn how to walk by faith. Isn't that right? Yeah. Yeah. No, your boss not holding you down. You got it? No. See, he don't like me, so I'm not going to get a raise. Promotion doesn't come from man. It doesn't, you know, promotion comes from the Lord. Right? So I've got to learn how to exercise, use, and develop my faith. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 26th verse. If you're there, say I'm there. All right. For ye see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised had God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. You could really say bring things which are not seen to something that can be seen. All right. And because we are, listen now, you got to get this, because we are made in his image and in his likeness, we have his DNA on the inside of us. Right. So he gave us dominion. He gave us authority. He gave us power. And so we are not God, but we are like God, because as he is, so are we in this earth. We are speaking spirits and we have the ability to change environments. We have the ability to change anything that is around us because we said that we take the word of God, which is the seed, seed, and we say it. And when we say it, it drops down into the soil of our heart, and our heart is designed to produce anything that gets in it, regardless of anything going around us. That is why the people of God are still prospering in the midst of a pandemic, because we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are in the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are king's kids, and God has made it up in his mind that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, and the crazy thing about it is, you know, as saints of God, you can't get upset with pandemics and crazy stuff going on, and the world is going to get darker and darker. But those of us in the kingdom of God, it is supposed to get brighter and brighter and brighter. So at a time when people are losing jobs and things are not right going right in the world, these are the times we should be getting the increase. God should be giving us the desires of our heart. Some of those things that you had on your list for a long time, you got to say, I can check that. I can check that. I can check that. Because God is always moving despite of what's going on in the world. Does that make sense? All right. So now let's go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter in the 9th verse. Y'all getting blessed? All right. So he says, but it is written, I have not seen, natural eye, nor ear heard, natural ear, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath already prepared for them that love him. How can you say already prepared, Pastor? Because I read a couple weeks ago that he has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is a spiritual warehouse, right? And everything that you will ever need is already there for you. Does that make sense? All right. And so when you pray, watch this. It's not the moment that God finds out you need something. You got it. It's not like I go to God and I pray and I say, Lord, we need these microphones. Oh, I got to get on the job. God already knew we were going to need these microphones. Isn't that right? And so God has already put everything in place that we need. You got it. He's already put the people in place that we need to sow into this thing. And so by the time we close on Sunday, we're going to have everything we need for the microphones. You got it. Well, how can you say that? I say that by faith. Does that make sense? And my faith at some point has to turn into manifestation. All right. So the writer says, verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his spirit, for the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God reveals things to us that the world can't even know. So the spirit is more real than the natural. Right. Because the natural, watch this now, is dependent on the spiritual for its very existence. That is why when you pray, I don't have time to get into it right now, but I kind of threw this out at you, and I'm going to maybe teach it on Sunday, and I said how God doesn't have to be anywhere to be everywhere. And some of y'all caught it, and some of y'all didn't hear what I'm saying. And then that's why I said, that's why he says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Watch this. Whatever is already declared to be lawful in heaven, watch this now, is what can be lawful in the earth. Whatever is unlawful in heaven is what has to be unlawful in the earth. So watch this. So it's not that we bring our experiences up to the word of God. But we bring the word of God down to us. Does that make sense? All right. So let's go a little bit further in this. What would happen? All right. I won't talk about you. Okay, so I'm not talking about you. All right. But what would happen? I won't say if you. I'll just say, hey, what would happen if a spirit was to leave somebody's body? The body would fall right down to the ground. Right? Am I right about it? And what would happen if you left the body there? It would return back to the dust from where it came from. Because your body needed your spirit to live, but your spirit doesn't need your body to live. So it shows me that the spirit is more real than the natural. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? And the natural, the body, is dependent on the spirit to live. Right? So I'm trying to get you to stop looking at the natural and start looking in the spirit. And the only way you're going to get somewhere else is you got to see something else, but you got to see it through the spirit. All right. So let's talk about steps to receiving from God. Let's talk about steps to receiving from God. I'll give this to you. And then we're going to go to 1 John 5 and 14. Steps to receiving from God. Everybody say number one. Number one, decide what you need from God and find the promise in the Word of God. All right? Decide what you need from God and find the promise in the Word of God. Let's just use healing. You got it? You need healing. You know, I can go to Isaiah. I can go to Peter. I can go to a whole lot of different scriptures. You know, he bore my sickness and infirmities. By his stripes, I'm already healed. So I need healing, and I found the promise in the Word of God. I'm on the right road right now. All right? Everybody say number two. Ask God for the thing that you want that is according to his word, all right? And remember, James says that when we ask, we have to ask in faith, nothing wavering. For a man that wavers, he's like a ship that's tossed to and fro. He's double-minded in all his ways, and the Bible says don't think that he will receive anything from God. So when I go to God, wow, you got to get this. When I go to God, he wants me to come boldly before the throne of grace, all right? And it's not based on how good I've been or how good I've not been or what I did 5 years ago. And if I remember, because you have to understand, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the righteousness of God is not based on anything that you've ever done, because I've never done anything good enough to be saved. Right? So it is his righteousness that's on me. Now, don't get me wrong. As a child of God, because I love God, I should want to do the right things and live holy. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Right? But if I do make a mistake and go to God and repent, his grace and his mercy is there for me, and he forgives me. And watch this. It puts me back in right standing with him. And watch this. And I still have continued access to his throne. Right? So you got to understand that. All right. So number one, decide what you need from God and find the promise in his word. And then number two, ask God for the thing that you need according to his word. All right. Then number three, believe that you have received it the moment that you pray. Believe that you have received it the moment that you pray. You know, I'm not trying to play with words, but I really kind of got a revelation on something. I believe I receive something the moment that I pray. Right? And you could say now, but one thing the Lord showed me is that now changes. All right? Because I'm in now right now, and it's eight. It's what time is it? That says I have 18 minutes left. 7:48 right now. But then later on, if we was all to go to lunch after this, it might be 10:15 right now. And so I always believe I received the moment that I pray. So the moment that I prayed is when I received. You got it? And so go to 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, that's a blank check. All right? According to his will, and we know his will is his word, the Bible says he heareth us. Thank God he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have desired of him. So when I go to God with petition prayer, watch this. I believe, I find it in the word of God. I ask God for it. I believe I receive it. And then when I get done, watch this, I thank him for it. All right? Why do I thank him for it? The reason I thank him for it is because I believe that I received it is already done. I believe I received the moment that I pray for my healing, that my healing is already done. Watch this. And even if it has not yet manifested, I realize that, by my faith and in the spirit, it is already done. So now I'm thanking God, waking up. Father, I thank you for my healing. Going about my day, Father, I thank you for my healing. Going to bed at night, thanking him for my healing, because I believe that I received that it was already done the moment that I prayed. Watch this. And it is just a matter of time until it manifests in my body. Does that make sense? All right. Now go back to Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22. And we've got to stop being moved by sense knowledge, because sense knowledge, what happens is, you know, sense knowledge will throw you off. Right? Because see, what you don't understand, let's just say there's something going on with your back, and you pray, you believe you receive, even maybe pastor prayed for you, the enemy will sit at the foot of your bed, feel it, see if it still hurt a little bit. No, I'm not moving by sense knowledge. You got it. I'm not doing that. Because see, the devil is trying to get you to stay over in the center. I ain't feeling nothing. I ain't moving nothing. And even if I did feel some pain, I ain't going to let it go out of my mouth. All I know that is by the stripes of Jesus, I am already healed. Does that make sense? And you use that same, I hate to say formula, but you use that same way of working the principles of faith as it relates for anything that you need as long as it's according to the word of God. Does that make sense? All right, so I believe that I received that it's already done. Mark 11 and 22, I got good time. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. The Greek actually says have the God kind of faith, all right? He says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, somebody say that's me, that's powerful, you got it? Because he's talking about you, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. All right. And so the key is there can be a little bit of doubt in my head, but as long as I have faith in my heart, it'll get the job done. Why can there be a little bit? Because see, that are you contradicting yourself? No, because the Bible just told me that I have to believe. He says, I cannot doubt in my heart, but I have to believe in my heart that the things I say will come to pass. Why? Because the enemy will shoot a negative thought in your head saying it ain't going to work. But that thought is not really my thought. So even though it is, watch this, it is in my head, it's not mine. Watch this. The only way it becomes mine is if I take it by saying. So the writer says, take no thought by saying. I'm not going to let that come out of my mouth. Right? And so now what I'm going to do is what I'm going to do when that thought comes. I'm going to cast it down and walk by what? Faith. You got it? And if I keep going this route and keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, I'm going to see the word manifest in my life. Watch this. Irregardless of anything that's going on around me, irregardless of any sense knowledge, and I don't have to feel goosebumps. If you do, praise the Lord. But if I don't feel anything, it is already done. Does that make sense? All right, now verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray. You notice he didn't say if ye pray, because he fully expects us to pray. Believe that you receive them, and what's going to happen? Did it say you might have it? Did it say depending on the economy or if there's a pandemic? So you've got to understand that for us, it's not based on anything in the natural. It's not based on anything going on. Because if you're not careful, you're waiting on the second stimulus. Lord, I sure hope that they send me that second stimulus. I'm believing and I'm trusting. And I ain't got no problem with that. But all I'm saying is don't put your faith in a stimulus. Because what happens if they say a second stimulus is not going on? He's still Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that can provide. And he will cause another avenue to come to give you more than the stimulus was going to give you. Isn't that right? And y'all like, that's right, Pastor. You're looking at Jim Tubb, but I sure hope it come, man. I sure hope it come. You better get out of sense knowledge, and you better get over into revelation knowledge and understand that it doesn't matter. It's not about a paycheck. It's not about a stimulus. It's not about a tax refund. I serve Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, and he's going to provide for me and my children and my children's children. He's going to take care of my marriage. He's going to take care of my body. He's going to take care of my future. Everything is already laid out for me. So yes, I save money, and we got all them things. I don't let you know what they are. Where we put money away, we won't have a whole bunch of money by the time we turn 65. Got a whole bunch of money now. You understand what I'm saying? But if they say the market is being funny and that, I don't worry about that stuff. I walk by and not by. So I walk by faith, by spiritual knowledge, and not sense knowledge, or by the senses or by the natural. I trust God and I believe God. Something happened the other day just nothing crazy, but you know, something happened and it could have given me the opportunity to say, oh man. And immediately I said, that ain't no problem because I live by faith. So I don't worry about anything because watch this, even though it takes us by surprise, it hasn't taken God by surprise and God already knows what he's going to do. Everybody say, God already knows what he's going to do. All right. And so we believe that we receive the moment that we pray. All right. I believe I receive by faith that is already done. Now, did I have it physically? No, but it was a faith fact. Everybody say faith fact. And before it can be a physical fact, it must be a faith fact Oh, you better get that. You need to write that down online. Before it can be a physical fact, it must be a faith fact. So now every day I wake up, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I believe I receive my healing. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I believe I receive my increase. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I believe I receive my debt freedom. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. My kids in college are taken care of and their college is paid off in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Just whatever it is that I'm believing for. Does that make sense? All right. This young man is teaching tonight. All right. And so what am I doing when I'm always saying that? I'm putting pressure on the word. And this is why you have to develop your faith so you can move mountains in your life. All right. See, because you can't move a $500 mountain with $25 faith. Oh, see, you was doing all right till you got there. No, God has all given us the measure of faith. Isn't that right? So, Pastor, what is the difference between those who get results and those who don't get results? All right. So Hebrews 4:2, I'm just going to quote it. I didn't ask them to put it up. The gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them. It did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. All right. So for when you talk about the measure of faith, all right, I want you to imagine. All right. So I want you to imagine that this half of the stage, all right, is an acre of land. That's a measure of faith, all right? That's somebody's measure of faith. This half is another acre of land. It's somebody else's measure of faith, all right? And it is the exact same. There is no difference. I'm talking about diameter. I'm talking about just everything is the exact same. It is absolutely 100% identical because God made it that way. So the person over here doesn't have any advantage of the person over here, all right? And so this person's got a measure of faith, all right? And this person has got a measure of faith. What is the difference between the two, all right? The difference between the two is the person over here with this measure of faith or with this acre, all they ever did was buy a lawnmower and just cut the grass and keep it looking good. But over here, watch this now. This person over here, not only did they start cutting the grass, right? But they decided that they were going to build a house over here. You understand what I'm saying? And then not only did they decide that they were going to build a house over here, they decided that they were over here in this area. They were going to build them a market. Hold on. Over here, they're going to build them what do you call it when you grow stuff? I can't understand y'all. A garden, that's right. Y'all leave me alone. This is my lesson. So they're going to build a garden, and they're producing some things, and they're producing so much that now they've got a little stand over here on the road, and people are coming by and buying, and watch this, and now they have increase on top of increase, so they're able to do so much. And over here, this person is not happy and doesn't understand, well, who do they think they are over there, and why do they think, so they think they sow such a much. No, God gave you over here the exact same thing he gave over here. The difference is they developed their faith and you didn't develop your faith. And if you develop your faith, faith will always get the job done. Does that make sense? So you have to learn how to develop your faith. All right. Because faith grows. Everybody say faith grows. Second Thessalonians 1:3, just the first part of 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. So you must develop your faith. And I'm not trying to be negative here, but when you start releasing your faith, and stepping over into the promises of God and start trying to develop your faith, and I'm not telling you to believe for this, but the enemy will try to show up. You got it, to push you back. The enemy will try to show up to get you to go over into the natural. You got it? And go back to reasoning and human logic and trying to make sense of things, but faith doesn't make sense. You got it? We talked about that last night. And so I remember, I don't know how many years ago, but I had woken up and I don't know if I slept the wrong way. I don't know what happened. But something going on with my back, man. I couldn't lift my hands like this, Like, I just couldn't. And, you know, about a day or so went by, and I think ladies like, you know, you just need to go to the chiropractor, to the doctor. You just need to figure out what's going on. You got it? And do you know the devil started talking right away? You're going to be up there on stage just moving slow. People going to be like, what's wrong with the pastor? You got it? Just all kind of stuff, you know? And you know, there's something wrong with you. You need to go get checked out because it's probably something serious. You got it? Because you ain't never experienced anything like that before. Probably not even a chiropractic thing. You probably need to go to a surgeon. You know, that's how the devil talks. Now, don't act like I'm the only one the devil ever talked to like that. You got it? All right? And that's why you got to watch what you hear. Oh. See, thoughts are controlled by several things. First thing thoughts are controlled by is observation. Everybody say observation. So you must watch what you observe, all right? So I'm going through this. Now is not the time for me to be watching that show, what is it called, ER? With all them folk coming in and out, and they in surgery, and they lost the one guy, he ain't make it. That's not the time for me to be doing that. You got to watch, you know, that stuff because your gates are letting that in. All right. So your thoughts are controlled by number one, observation, and then number two, association. Right. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. So you got to watch your company because everybody isn't going where you're going. Everybody doesn't have the kind of faith that you had. You know, they find out what happened. My cousin Ray Ray, that happened. Same thing happened to him. And he in a wheelchair and I ain't never walked again. I'm telling you, you got to watch that stuff. Am I right about it? Yeah, you know, and I'm not trying to bring the word down to my experiences. I'm trying to bring my experiences up to the word of God. So watch this. So I don't listen to people say this worked for him and this didn't work for him. And that, you know, no, I'm not healed because you got healed. I'm healed because the word of God says I'm healed. You got it. So watch this. So my experiences don't have to validate the word of God. The word of God is what it is, whether you receive it or not. Does that make sense? All right. Oh, okay. Turn to Mark 5. Turn to Mark 5. Okay. I didn't give you number 3. Thoughts are controlled by observation. They're controlled by association. And then they're controlled by teaching. All right. Everybody say teaching. This is where you have to understand the church you go to and the words you hear makes a difference. Being in an environment of faith around people of faith will help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And it is the will of God for you to have victory in every area of your life. And I want you to know that you can have victory in every area of your life. And if somebody told you that you couldn't, they lied to you. Does that make sense? All right. You can't listen to everything. You can't listen to everything on Christian TV. Let me just try to find out where I'm going. Everybody say they're a prophet, not a prophet. But anyways, yeah. You know, everybody get a title now and a briefcase. And, you know, but they on TV. If you got enough money, anybody that let you go on TV. All right. Praise God. And so the devil really started trying to talk to me. And so I went into my dressing room area at the house. And man, I just picked up my hands, you know, as high as I could take them, and I just begin to just pray in the spirit. And then after that, I just begin to declare the word of God over my life. All right, and if you're in the room, say, well, you know, what is praying in spirit, speaking in tongues? That sounds spooky. No, that's not spooky. You understand what I'm saying? That is a heavenly language that God gives us. All right, and when we pray, we are praying the perfect will of God for our lives, because the writer says we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession. You got it? So when we're praying the perfect will. So I'm praying in the Spirit. And then I'm praying in my natural language, the scripture that I know. By his stripes, you know, I'm healed. You bore our sickness and disease. Children is healing is the children's bread. Those kind of things. And so now I'm doing what I just told you. All right? I found a promise in the word of God. You know, those things I just taught. And then I believe I receive in Jesus' name. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. And I'm holding my hands. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. Then I go praying in the Spirit. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. And I made up my mind. I was not leaving that spot until God did something in my body. And I believe I received in Jesus' name. And then I made myself, even in pain, just go a little bit higher. You understand what I'm saying? Because watch this, because I'm activating the word of God, and it's not based on natural senses. It's based on revelation knowledge that the word of God has already taught me that Jesus has bore my sickness and disease on a tree, and I have to receive this thing by faith, irregardless of what I feel. Does that make sense? You got it. So I don't care how I feel. I don't care if I'm in pain because I really want to let my hands down, but I wouldn't let my hands down. You got it? And I kept it. And then I started just getting loud. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. Healing is the children's bread. You got it? And my dad, he's taught us, try to do something you couldn't do. You understand? And so I was trying to do something I couldn't do, but I really couldn't do anything. You understand? So I at least started moving my body like that. You got it? And I kept saying it. And before you know it, boom, just like that, the pain went away and my hands shot straight up. And from that day to this day, I've never had that pain in my body. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so when you say it, you got to say it loud. You got to talk back to the devil. Are y'all getting anything out of this? All right. Let me give this to you. All right. I need 5 more minutes. How many give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. I'm just playing. All right. I just want to give this to you and then we're going to wrap it up. Mark 5 and 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing the better, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment, for she what? Said. How does faith come? How is it released? By the words of your mouth, right? So you got to say something. You got to open your mouth. You know, people say, you know, when I pray, I just pray, you know, I just pray in my mind. No, you need to pray out your mouth. You got it? He know what I mean. No, he needs to hear what you said. All right? For she said, I mean, think about it. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus called Lazarus, he opened his mouth. Lazarus, come forth. You understand what I'm saying? You have to open your mouth and say something. And especially when the devil's talking to you, why should he be the only one talking? When Jesus was in the wilderness and he was fasting 40 days and 40 nights, being tempted of the devil, the enemy kept showing up. If you'll do this, I'll do this. If you do this, I'll do this. Jesus understood his earthly authority. You understand? That if I open my mouth and say something, you got it, this enemy has to back up. So he said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. It is written that thou shall have no other God before thee. And when the enemy starts coming at you, you got to come back at him with the word of God. No devil, by the stripes of Jesus, I am already healed. No devil, great is the peace of my children, for they are taught of the Lord. There's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in their lives. And they're protected when they're not even around me. Does that make sense? All right. She said, if I might touch his clothes, I shall be whole. All right, let's read that in the Amplified. Mark 5 and 28 in the Amplified. Just this first, 1, 2, 3. For these first 4 words on 3. 1, 2, 3. For she kept saying. She did what? She kept saying. And you got to keep saying and keep saying and keep saying, because when you keep saying and keep saying, you are developing your faith. It is becoming real. And there's something in the spirit realm that is happening that will show up in the natural in your life. This young man is teaching a good lesson here tonight. All right. So verse 29, and straightway, let's go home court. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said, Jesus, the multitude, they all over you. No. He said, but this touch was a touch of faith. And the Bible says in verse 32, and he looked around about to see who had done this thing. Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And that's what Jesus desires the most, is faith and truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. Isn't that what he told blind Bartimaeus? Thy faith has made thee whole. Last scripture, Philippians 4 and 6. This is what I want you to do. This is your homework, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to go home. Have you enjoyed these 2 nights? Amen. All right. This is your homework. Verse 6. Be careful for what? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Remember, we talked about last night that God doesn't, he doesn't do well with complaining. Faith doesn't work with murmuring and being all frustrated and mad. It won't produce anything in your life. So he says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, here we go. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, I'm going to try it one more time. Whatsoever things are, and I know you got the mask on, but just work with me. We're closing. Whatsoever things are, whatsoever things are, whatsoever things are, whatsoever things are, whatsoever things are of a, he said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, these are the things that you think of. So I submit to you that if it's not true, it's not honest, it's not just, it's not pure, it's not lovely, if it's not of a good report, you don't need to think on it. I submit to you that if it's not true, if it's not honest, if it's not just, if it's not pure, if it's not lovely, and if it's not of a good report, you don't need to talk about it. He said, those are not the things that you think on. You think on these things. And so people don't understand, and I know sometimes people don't get me in, and I get it, and sometimes people get frustrated with me because people get in a conversation I don't want to get in. And, you know, and it's not because I think I'm better than anybody. I'm just following the word. Because, I have to let his voice be the loudest voice in my life. Does that make sense? Because let me just tell you, there's a whole lot of craziness going on in the world. But I'm in the kingdom. And I can do more, watch this, for this world with me being in the kingdom and doing it God's way and keeping my heart pure and keep and only focusing on those things that are pure and lovely and of a good report and honest and true. You got it? Because what that does is sets my heart in a way where I can hear from God. It sets my heart in a way where I can pray and intercede for things going on so things can change. So you've got to understand. Put the scripture back up. The last one. Go back to, what is it, 6? Be careful for nothing. So I'm not going to be careful for, watch this. I'm going to make sure, let's stand all over the building because we're going home. Hallelujah. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to keep my mind stayed on Jesus. And so this is what I want you to do. We're going to pray and we're going to get out of here. It's 12 minutes after 8. We did real good tonight, right? So I'm going to admonish you to do something. I asked you on Wednesday and Thursday to just kind of cut out social media and cut out news. Why? Because when you came here, you don't need a whole lot of things clouding your mind, right? Because as I'm teaching, watch this, the spirit of faith is going forth. And I need to make sure that you receive it. And not, you know, because the enemy will remind you of something that you read earlier today that you didn't like. You understand what I'm saying? And so what I need you to do is to stay focused. On Sunday, we're going to talk a little bit about how we've been called to rule and reign in the earth, and we are ambassadors for Christ. I have to be careful because sometimes I say that and then the Holy Spirit takes me another way, but prayerfully, that's what we're going to talk about, right? But watch this. But we are, last night, I gave you the word, the Lord said it's time to rally the troops. Well, why wouldn't he say rally the saints? Because we are saints, but we're soldiers in the army of the Lord. And we are in a battle, but the good thing is we win. Right? And so we have, but watch this, but you know, being a military man, being in the Marine Corps, and all of my military people, whatever branch you were, thank God for all of them, whatever branch, I'm not the one that think, you know, we better than you, you know, I don't play that. You know, when I first went in, they try to put that in your head, you know how that is, you know, but, you know, I'm older, I'm wiser, I'm better. Oh, Jesus, if I tell people if I could sing, boy, I'd have the... And ladies like, that's why the Lord didn't need to give it to you because it went right to your head. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. Thank God for a good wife to just tell me like it is. And so, but being a military man, you know, there was protocols that we had. There was ways that we did things. We were squared away. When we came outside, we looked good. You know, everything was pressed. You know, that line is okay. You understand what I'm saying? But when I was in the military, that line was straight. start straight. That line wouldn't move. You understand? Why? Why? Because there was a way you had to do things. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. There's a way that we do things, and we do it by faith, and we do it with character, and we do it with integrity. You understand what I'm saying? And if we do fall, we get up, we dust ourselves off, we ask God to forgive us, and we keep running our race. That's what we do. So let's pray. Father, we come to you, and we thank you for these two nights.